Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee this morning to thank Thee for the night of rest. We're thankful for this privilege of being able to come together and to share Thy precious word with our brethren. We're thankful, dear Father, that we have this privilege of being at this convention to fellowship and to hear more of Thy precious plan of the ages. We now ask a blessing upon Brother John as he breaks the bread of life to us, that our hearts might be refreshed and we might come to appreciate more the beautiful truths in the scriptures. We ask a blessing upon Brother John as he gives forth this word. And dear Father, we ask a blessing upon those who are not able to be with us this morning due to sickness and illness, that Thou will be with them and give them strength. And now, dear Father, we ask a continued blessing upon this day as we share the spiritual truth from the platform and from our brethren. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name.
Thank you, Brother John. Sister Virginia had to go home to Seattle, as you probably heard that Steve took her home, as she has got a touch of the flu and was feeling very ill. So Steve will be back. He may be here now. I haven't seen him. Dee Anderson's phone this morning to wish all the blessing of the Lord and that they're thinking about us here. And happy that they felt, had another opportunity to get together for a reconditioning of the new creature, to refresh our hearts and minds on the things of the Spirit, things that the new creature lives on. And we appreciate this and your contribution, the brethren from the platform, as well as your conversation and fellowship together. It's all part of reconditioning us to continue on. Brother Jerry would like to remind us that they brought up considerable number of Benjamin Barton's talks. They're all in the book form, and if any of the ecclesias that are here and returning to their places are interested, they have several of them left. They will be going early, and if you could see them after this meeting, you might be interested to take some to your ecclesia. We bought some here, and they are on the back, but he just has extras, and if you're interested at this time. And we appreciate our dear brother John. We have enjoyed his communion and fellowship with us and his helpfulness here and elsewhere. And I like a balanced program myself when we prepare the food, and the brethren do. There's various vegetables, there's a portion of meat, and it's balanced. I like to see a balanced convention, admonition, doctrinal matters, and matters concerning where we are in the sense of prophecy. Where are we on the stream of time? A confirmation, as it were. So brother's talk is our times in the light of the teachings and the prophecies of the scriptures. Where are we on the stream of time? The Lord bless Brother John, and we will try to be attentive.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Sharp. Dear brethren, I am very glad and thankful to our Heavenly Father that we again have that opportunity to be with you, Sister Mary and I. We are happy to be with you at that convention today. And we bring the love and greeting from brethren from Winnicke, Polish, Ukrainian, and English classes. Our times in light and teaching and prophecy of the scripture. Excuse me. Never before has human race passed through such an era of universal uncertainty and distress as they do it now, world over. From one side, we can say that the conditions which are in the world today are as a result of human selfishness and degradation. From the other side, we can say that it is because of God's special activity, special work entrusted to our Lord during his second presence. Jesus, our Lord, has clearly foretold the destruction of Jerusalem and complete destruction as dispersion of Jews in that trouble, great trouble, which took place at the end of the Jewish age in 69-70. And he said that it was because not only that they were disobedient to God's covenant, but because they killed and persecuted wise men and prophet whom they God sent to them. So as a punishment, all righteous blood shed upon that earth from Abel to Zechariah will come upon them. It was prophecy, and it exactly happened. Events which occurred by the end of Jewish age foreshadows greater events which are taking place now. Nominal Christendom, Babylon, is responsible for persecuting and killing many millions of Christians who did not agree with them. That is known for everyone, and that's why they call it Dark Ages. In Revelation 17:5-6, we read that the Babylon, mother of harlot and abomination, was drunk with the blood of the saints and martyrs of Jesus. And that's the reason, too, why trouble came upon. These two points are important, and the world doesn't understand that. Worldly people can see that many strange things is happening, strange events are taking place, and they wonder why it is so and what it leads to. It was time that some learned people used to say, there is nothing new in the world. It is just that history repeats itself. But many things which transpire now, in the world today, have no historic precedent. And historian knows that. The time in which we are living now are called in the scripture the last days and many other names. And there are many prophecies in Old and New Testament relating to this time. It is a very important time in history because it is a transition period in which the kingdom of this world, Satan empire, have to be abolished. And the kingdom of Christ has to be established. This is closely related with another important event of which the world doesn't know, the second presence of Christ. In John 14:3, we find that Jesus said to apostles that he will go and prepare a place for them and come again and receive them to himself. At beginning, and that time, apostles did not understand that important teaching. But after receiving Holy Spirit, they understood it and themselves wrote about this. Then they understood that at that time of his second presence, the evil world will come to an end. And the faithful follower of Jesus will receive their reward. And for the mankind, it will be a time of refreshment. So the second presence of Christ for faithful followers of Christ was something great. They will be delivered. Apostle Peter tells, we have a sure word of prophecy and we will do good. Well, if we take heed as to the light that shine in dark places. 2 Peter 1:19. Prophecy is history written in advance because it is from God. It is sure and reliable. Prophet Daniel, who wanted to know many things regarding the future of his people, had many visions, which partly were explained to him, but he was told that he has the other to seal them till the time of the end. Then the wise people shall understand that. Daniel 12:9-10. The vision which Nebuchadnezzar has was one of a great prophecy covering a long period of time from his time till our time. The other vision which Daniel later had happened during that time. There are many important things like about abomination and so on, about which Christ mentioned too, abomination, we know papacy, and about which Apostle Paul said the man of sin, which will be destroyed in second presence of Christ. Many learned people before First World War said that when more people become educated, when knowledge would spread more and more, then we won't have any war, no more trouble, because people will understand, will be educated, will understand each other, and will help themselves and cooperate. But we see, dear brethren, that something opposite happened. Increase of knowledge, increase of education among the masses brought more dissatisfaction, more trouble. Masses, people found that they have been exploited. They desire and demanded to have more rights, more privileges, and share in wealth of the earth and produce good, which greatly increased because of invention. Wealthy and rich people didn't want to share the wealth. They wanted to keep people as slaves. They didn't want to increase their wages. In some places, they were successful for a while. When people rebel, they were able to put them down, put down rebellion and maintain status quo for a while, but not for very long. We know in Russia, in 1905, if brethren know history, at that time it was war with Japan, and Russia, big empire, lost. And already it grew dissatisfaction, and there have been people who wanted to change, and it was kind of revolution, but it was squashed. Increase of knowledge, increase of communication, and many inventions which came out of it brought great blessing to mankind. They brought people of the world much closer, much more about each other. Many inventions which are used for benefit, for good, for improvement, improving the standard of living, are in the same time used for mass destruction of people. For example, diamond, brethren know, Swedish chemist, scientist, invented diamond. He wanted to help people to break the rock, because he saw how people, and he did. But after that, diamond was used for killing millions of people. It still is. So when he saw already partly for that, that's why he decided that the profit from royalty and so on will go for those people who are working for peace, writer and so on. And it's still, as brethren know, it still is relevant. It was before First War, but hatred and suspicion was not only between poor and rich, but it was between nations, especially Europe. Among the nations, the trouble was brewing. Nations have been prepared for war. Great, before First War, it was great preparation, and people sensed that there will be trouble. And in Hague, in 1912, there was peace conference, which supposed to prevent war, but they didn't prevent. The war broke out. In 1914, the First War broke out, which, as we understand, according to the Bible and according to chronology, according to the scripture, made the end of the rule of Gentiles. That image which Daniel saw in 1914, 2,520 years ended, and made it end, doesn't mean that all Gentiles, people, and still rule completely destroyed, no. But it started from then. It happened precisely as Pastor Russell foresaw and foretold many years before. When that war was finished, some great politician said that that war should finish all war, that there will be no more war. We know it didn't happen, but that war brought great changes in the world, especially in Europe. Great empires, which lasted over 1,000 years, broke to pieces. Austria, Hungary, Austria, which was called Holy Roman Empire in history. That's why we believe it is continuation of that Roman Empire, that last part of image was broken because the stone broke in a pit. So it was broken. The great Russian Empire in 1917, what happened? Revolution broke out. In some way, it was similar to French Revolution by the end of 18th century, as brethren know. It was great, and many people died there. Many people lost their life in Russian Revolution. A whole Tsar family almost, and a great many of aristocracy. Angry mob was destroying and burning palaces and possession of rich people. They were a part, we understand now, of that great army of Lord, about which Pastor Russell mentioned in fourth volume, which will bring destruction of the evil world. Was part. Right after war, League of Nations was formed. That organization should have settled all differences between the nation and preserve lasting peace. President of United States Woodrow Wilson, one of the initiators of League Nation, said that what Christ couldn't do in 2,000 years, we did that now. Imagine. But we know what happened. Meantime, not very long after Second War, two big dictators came on the scene in Europe. One in Germany, Hitler, and one in Russia, Stalin. Because many Russian farmers opposed collectivization, artificial famine was created in 13, in which, dear brother, that was covered, but now it's coming to the more and more. They've been trying to cover, in which about 8, they say, to 10 million people died, artificial famine, by Stalin. During the Second World War, another dictator, Hitler, destroyed in concentration camp about 6 million Jews with the so-called Holocaust, and many million the other, from the other nationality, not only Jew. In 1939, Second World War broke out. League of Nations couldn't prevent it. Here again, many people lost their life. Many European cities lay destroyed in ruin. Great friction in that time after war and struggle took place between European country and many colonies which they had. And eventually, England and the other European country lost almost all their colonies in Africa and Asia. Shape of world became so completely different. Many of these colonies became independent country, and we all know that in 1948, Israel became independent state. All these and the other happenings were foretold in the Bible. We believe that here we see the fulfillment of Jesus' prophecy, which is recorded in Luke 21:29-31, we will read, where it said that when three will start to blossom, button, and the other tree, you know that summer is close. That is fulfillment of that prophecy, brethren. After the second war the world became divided in two camps, East and West, two different ideology, communism and democracy. Right after the war, the both sides began again to arm themselves. But not only big countries started to do that, the other, even small country, poor, did the same thing. And we believe that prophecy of Joel 3:9-10 here is fulfilling. It says, prophecy 3:9-10, Joel, he said, proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war, wake up the mighty men, let all men of war draw near, let them come up, beat your plowshare into sword, and your pruning hood into spear. The weak say, I am strong. We see it, those small, economically poor, many nations, what first they do if they have money? They want to buy armament. They want all those Arab nations in Europe, even independent, even which was not going to war, Switzerland, did that too to some extent, and the other. So everybody preparing, even small. We remember what Jesus said about the condition of the earth at that time. In Luke we read 21:25, this word, 21:25 and 26. And there shall be sign in the sun and in the moon and in a star, and upon the earth distress of nation with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, man's heart falling from fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. And we know that condition is now. Many even educated people, scientists, afraid. They are afraid that civilization, as we are known, we have in, might be destroyed. They are afraid. And it would be. It would be, we believe. But Lord himself would prevent it. He will prevent it. We read in Matthew 24:22, Matthew, those words. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the sake of elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. We know now that it's possible with knowledge of atom and using atomic bomb, they can destroy world. Not once, but they say a few times. Could be completely destruction. And people think about that. People worry. It would be. But we know that Lord has an affair of the world in his hand. He will prevent it. It won't be. But people, what you don't know. In Kings 19:11, we read that when Elijah stood on the mountain before the Lord, the strong wind passed by, which broke the mountains to pieces, but the Lord was not in them. Then earthquake was, and fire, and the Lord was not in them. After this, it was still small voice. In this voice was the Lord. We firmly believe, brethren, that here was given important picture how that evil world will come to end and what will be outcome. Trouble comes in stages, each one a little different. Wars, revolution, and anarchy, we believe at the present. Apostle Paul said that in Thessalonians 5:13, that it will come as travail upon a woman with child. And then people will say peace and safety, but it will not help them. Destruction will come. They shall not escape, Apostle said. Trouble, tribulation, as we see it now, come upon the whole world. Because before, it's important, in Jewish age, it came on the Jewish nation. And here, two ages are coming to the end. Gospel age and all that evil age. That we should have in mind. And trouble in which we are embracing all world and prophecy, and we know that. Not one place, all over. And people, prophecy says about that quite clearly, brethren. Isaiah 34, 1, 4, it says, we'll read. Isaiah 34, 1, 4. Come near, ye nation, to hear and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear and all that is therein, the world, and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all the armies. He has utterly destroyed them. He has delivered them to the slaughter. All nations are in a trouble, because it is here all evil, all that age, evil world, has come to end, it is coming to end. We are witnessing. This prophecy is similar in Haggai. We won't read it. I don't think we have much time. Where he says that the Lord will shake the heaven and the earth and the sea and the dry land. All. That's symbolic language. Heaven usually represents spiritual realm or those like ecclesiastical. And the earth, mountain, kingdom, the earth, republic, and so on. Sea usually represent the masses which are not satisfied, which always rebel. And we see now more than ever as masses rebel all over. Nobody is satisfied. No matter what they get, they want more. And so on, because it is the time. Why will he do that? It says that the Lord will shake all nations, clearly. Apostle Paul explained that to Hebrews 12:27. Why God will shake all nations. He said, Hebrews 12:27. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. That means everything what is built on injustice, on error, it can stay, because the light of second present is bringing up everything. We are witnessing, brethren, in all segments of society, religious, economical, economy, political, ecclesiastical. Those revelations of those evangelists in the United States which pretend to be great people and so on, it is the revelation what actually they are. They are for money. People know that. How? Revelation in politics, in Watergate and the other thing, in Canada, what's going on. Never before people knew that so much corruption is in a government. Everything is revealed. That's the time Christ said there will be nothing hidden. And that is the time that everything comes up. And of course, it brings more dissatisfaction, because people say, why they do it? We elect them. When they do it, I can do it. And it's turmoil and turmoil. It is leading to what? It is leading to anarchy, brethren. To that third phase, which will completely destroy evil world. and it's many places that anarchy is foretold, and in symbolic language usually it is said as fire, because fire destroys everything completely. Doesn't leave nothing in one place. It's said that even the root is burned out. So that's what it is. And about the same thing, we have prophecy of Apostle Peter, who says, 2 Peter 3:10. Apostle Peter said similar thing. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the work that are therein shall be burned up. The earth here represent government, and the heaven ecclesiastical power. Why it says they will come together, it will roll? Because they see the trouble. They see that people are leaving them. There's another picture, beautiful, and about Babylon and Euphrates River, which was dried up in Europe. Drying up the river represents that people will leave them, and financial support will be less and less. And that was happening, brethren. In Europe, in France, I had the opportunity to be a few times, and I saw, brethren, showed me churches empty, empty. The same is going more here. I read a few days about Chicago, that they churches getting empty and nobody wants to fix them because there's not many parishioners and not many people, and people don't want to spend money on that. And the clergy don't want, because if they spend too much, they will not have much. So they in trouble, and that is all over like that. They roll, and that's why they're rolling. Rolling means come together. And we believe that this is in our place. This thing is taking place. It's transpired in before our eyes. We see how Pope, Polish Pope, he's smart man, we say, and good man, because he suffered from communists and from Hitler. He was persecuted. He's a good man, we say. But he represents Babylon. And he maybe sincerely wants to help them. That's why he's going all over. He is one of those, as we believe, that Isaiah said that ambassador of peace will go in order to keep it, to make it peace. He talked lots about peace, and he's defender of poor people, right? And we believe that maybe he sincerely does. But aim is behind this, to keep that heaven, the churches together, because they see it's melting. Everything is melting, and will help. It will melt, you know. And we're glad that it will be, because we know there's something greater, beautiful. Christ, among the other things, said that if you see those things, not that we actually glad that trouble is, but what he said, if you see those things, you raise your head. Does mean to raise your head, be satisfied. Why? Because your deliverance is nigh. Your other and world. World has to come through it. There's no other way to destroy evil. Only that's the way that God knows better. Only one way to rip it up and completely destroy it. And on this, to build something new. We're witnessing now that part. We want to mention one thing, brethren, too, that in Daniel, when he saw that image and the stone hid it, and image fell apart, what happened? An explanation was such that in time of this king, Lord of heaven will set up the kingdom, which will what? Crush, destroy to pieces the other kingdom, and itself will stay together. What he is talking now among the brethren is the idea that If you said that Christ in some respect reigns, some think not how it could be. They forgetting what Pastor Russell in few places clearly said, that kingdom consists of two phases, spiritual and earthly phases, brethren. That in that prophecy it's clearly stated that this kingdom will destroy. So who is actually destroying this? It's Christ. Christ, which we believe, he is overtaking, he is directing those things to destroy this kingdom which we are. So, some brethren said, even I had, that they said, you said Christ destroyed. How he destroyed? The people destroyed himself. That's true. That's very true. And we have a picture about that, brethren. Brethren, remember Gideon. We believe there's a good picture there. Gideon, how he destroyed Midianite. He had the light in pitcher, and with 300 men, and they had a trumpet. And when they started, it was direction what to do, to break the pitcher, show the light, and blow in trumpet, and then to say, sword of Lord and Gideon. When they did it, what happened? Midianite became scared, and they start to kill each other. And that what actually is now. People destroying each other. But what is the reason behind? We mentioned before that knowledge which is emanating from Christ's presence, which is now, that is the reason behind. So who can take advantage, and who can say it I did? Well, Gideon, actually, it was his victory, and he didn't kill anyone. It doesn't say, and those 300 with him, they didn't kill. We believe it represents Christ and church. On this side and the other, somebody say might say, how come on this side somebody can do that? We have one thing, and we will, when we study the scripture diligently, we see that it is definite principle of God that every great change of dispensation or event in history which affects many people in the world shall be announced and explained by his servant. I might repeat, every great event in history usually is announced, especially change of dispensation, by God's people. It was the case Noah was used by God to tell the people that flood will come, and he built the ark. People left, but it came. John the Baptist knew that the great change is coming, and that was the reason he was baptizing the people and calling them to repentance. The Pharisee and Sadducee came to him, and what he said to them, Matthew 3:7-10, it is said like that, Matthew 3:7-10. But when he saw many of Pharisee and Sadducee came to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of this stone to raise Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root. What does mean? The root of the tree. Israel, nation, still it was, to cut it down. You know, the axe already is there. And that axe cut it down in 69 and 70, as we mentioned before. He announced that change. God's dealing with the prophet of Jeremiah shows how God used quite often some of his faithful people to proclaim his word in a certain important situation. We read in Jeremiah 1:9-10. It said, "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth." Because Jeremiah said, Lord sent him to people. Jeremiah was young and didn't want to go. He said, I'll go. But Lord made him to go. Put on mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my word in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. How come Prophet Jeremiah had to root all nation, build up? Could he do that? He didn't turn even a hand to do that. But what he did, brethren, he only declared what will happen. And that declaration, God calls that you root it out. You build it. He declared what will happen, and he declared how it will rebuild. About Israel, about New Covenant, many things. Prophecy of Jeremiah is one of the beautiful, very beautiful. But he didn't do himself. But God said, you will do it. What does tell us, brethren? We believe that Jeremiah illustrates God's people today. At his time, real destruction was brought from north evil. And in our time, a great evil is coming from north mostly. It is said the pot from north will boil and all evil will come on whole the earth. And he prophesies. And this we see it. And what we do, Lord, people today, do not try to abolish present evil system. We not. But they proclaim that it is taking place, Pastor Russell, because it took already in great part, but it's taking place now. Pastor Russell proclaimed that Armageddon, about Armageddon, and what will happen to kings and everything. But because time came, he proclaimed that. He was like that Jeremiah, brethren, to pull out, to root out evil system, but they proclaim that it's taking place, and they are giving the reason why it's taking place and what will be the result. We are not, and Pastor Russell was not doom prophet, as somebody say, doom prophet, because calling about doom and so on, there are some doom prophet, because they say the earth will be burned and just few will go to Lord and the rest will be destroyed. No. We know that earth will be birth symbolic and heaven. But beside that, there will be kingdom prepared, which will be bring blessing to all nations. That's the beautiful message. That's about exactly what it said, the prophet, to proclaim the year of to acceptable year of the Lord. We proclaiming and the day of vengeance of our God. It is our duty too. We don't specially proclaim trouble, but we give a reason. In our radio program, in other television what we have, we do. That lets people know why it is. People ask, and they know. And this is our duty, brethren. Now, another. There are many people in the world who would sincerely like to establish better government, to bring peace and happiness. But many of them, when by chance come up, they what becomes? They become dictator. Like Marco. He was a revolutionary man in the Philippines. What happened? And there are many like that. Why? Because selfishness in the people can it prevent. Before First World War, there was in Russia many people, there was movement to improve, to abolish that government. There was democratic rather movement, the first Duma, maybe some who knows history. But they couldn't, after communists exploit that and they defeat them. But one great writer in Russia. His name was Leo Tolstoy. He was famous worldly. He wrote about resurrection, about Anna Karenina, it was in a film, and Peace of War, it was film too, great film. And he was acquainted with Bible, that man. And reading the Bible, he knew more than the other. And he saw that movement to reform, to make better for people. What he said, all those reform will not help actually until people will reform their heart. And that was exactly kingdom will, Christ will do. Reform people's heart. To root out selfishness. To bring what Christ said. Love your neighbor as yourself. We, dear brethren, we see that. We should be thankful to the Lord that we know that. And we should try to live properly with brethren. And so even some that's different more. To discuss properly. To love each other as possible. But not, of course, we will not on compromise of truth. There is thing that has to be discussed and has to be. We have a standard. We have belief. If somebody doesn't believe second present, of course it's brethren. But it is different. And other thing, we have to be careful. We have to be diligent, brethren. But we have to try our vessel to be clean. Then only can we be used properly in God's service. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother John. We do appreciate your sincerity and genuineness and reminding us of, shall I call it, Bible student theology that we've heard for many years from the time I came in the truth as a teenager. But the beauty of it all is that little verse says, we are living, we are dwelling in a grand and awful time. An age on age is telling, but to be dwelling, living is sublime. And we feel that more so as we see the things that Brother Russell anticipated at an early stage by 1914. We see that these very things are merely stretched out in time. But if we couldn't have seen them, then we would have something to worry about. But we are actually seeing these things come to pass. So the old order is crumbling very quickly, it seems to be. And so we thank you very much for the hindsight and reminder. Our expectations are right on tap. We have been reminded to tell you that the coffee break is downstairs again, and lots to eat. Lots of coffee and lots of cookies and etc. Now, the Lord bless your half-hour fellowship together. Our brother would like us to close with 171. Again, over the years, this has been a favorite. Let's sing with our time as it is. The first verse and the third and fourth. First three and four. Mine eyes can see the glory of the Lord. And we are surrounded with it, isn't it? Our King is marching on. 171, 1, 3, and 4 stanzas. Judas, lion, now has come to hold the sway. again, brethren, at 11 a.m., please, and Brother Randy will speak to us. Brother John.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Dear Father, we want to approach again to the throne of mercy and give you thanks for all your blessings which you bestow upon us. First of all, we want to thank you for your great love that you sent your beloved Son, who gave his life for mankind in order that in due time every member of human family will have an opportunity for life. Dear Father, we thank you for privilege and for knowledge which you give to us. We thank you for privilege to be with brethren, to enjoy, to meet of those things which you provided for us, to encourage each other and to be encouraged. We ask your forgiveness of our trespasses because we made them. Dear Father, in all our daily affair, we ask your blessing through Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother.